me, walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me, talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly. When you talk there, when you walk there by the sea, let me follow in your footsteps that trod the shores of Galilee. Let me learn to pray like he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take my hand,
take my hand,
take my hand,
teach me, Lord,
to
understand
all my duty, all the beauty of your love. Talk to me, talk to me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me, as you walk so lovingly. When you talk there by the sea, let me follow in your footsteps that trod the shores of Galilee. Let me learn to pray like he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take my hand,
take my hand,
take my hand.
Teach me, Lord,
to understand all my duty, all the beauty of your love. And let me follow in your footsteps. Trod the shores of Galilee. Let me learn to pray like he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take my hand,
take my hand,
take my hand,
take my hand.
Teach me, Lord,
to understand
all
Take our Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, please, verse number 1. Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you. I never knew Brother Bell had such a good voice. Boy, you got to hit that up that high. You got to have tight shoes on to get up there, brother. I'm telling you what, that's good. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Love the music here. Love the spirit of this place. Love to be here. Good to see Brother Cox once again. Joyce, just being around him, just to be in his presence is a blessing, and I enjoy that very much. Brother Tony is a whole, like he was saying, he's a whole different kind of creature. I love Brother Tony. He's a good guy, and enjoy with him also. But let's take our Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I've got 29 minutes, and it's noon. We know what that means. It means nothing. Just 29 minutes until noon, but we will get there. I don't want to hold anybody up from lunch. You get Baptist mad at you if you keep them from food. Boy, you feed you well here. I'm glad this meeting's only a week because I bring extra loose clothes for this meeting. I do. I got suits for when I get here, and I got clothes with drawstrings on them when I leave so I can let it out, you know. I last time I was here, I almost had to pay for an extra seat and get home on the airplane. We won't go into how fat I am. We already did all that, but we got that there. Pastor was kind enough to let me bring some materials again. Some of you bought these last time I was here. They're out here at the book table. Brother Seth will be out there at the table in a minute. There's devotionals there for men, for women. There's one for teenagers. Now, every teenager should have this devotional. I wrote all these, and I came up with that title myself. I thought about it, prayed about it. Just for Teens. Pretty snappy when you think about that. I almost hired a marketing team to help me get that title, but I got that one on my own right there. But day 12, this 30-day devotional here, day 12 is why teenagers need this little 30-day devotional, because the title is, Are You Stupid? That's right. That's worth the money right there. Right there. See, you're supposed to encourage teenagers. Forget your face, Jack. That was good, right? You stupid. And it really isn't insulting them much. It's just challenging them about being ignorant. So many people are ignorant nowadays. But there's one for men. There's one for ladies. There's a packet of things in little blue bags for married couples. Covers 90 days, actually. Explains how to do that and strengthens marriages and that. There's a book I wrote about Baptists. We need to know our Baptist heritage. Simple little book, really simple. I'm working on an addendum to put to that to bring us more into where we should be as independent Baptists. And as soon as I can get home, behave myself, we'll put that together. But there's other booklets there on. There's one on biblical modesty. I kind of touched on that a little bit yesterday morning. I can't give that one away, but it's there. And a few other subjects. And if you'll buy that, I told Seth if he doesn't sell everything on that table, he has to walk back to California. So just go by there, please, if you would. And we can even do a credit card. We're all hooked up to the Antichrist, so that's amazing. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Now, we know this is the Hebrews Hall of Faith, right? And all these people that did all these things by faith. Too many of us consider faith to be a static thing. And I'm not talking about that stuff that makes a sock stick to your underwear to dryer. I mean, we kind of feel like faith is just, okay, it's just what you believe. Oh, no, it's more than that.
Amen.
Faith is first of all, trusting God. If you can't get past that one, you don't have faith. You got to trust God. Number two, faith is believing the word of God. You got to believe it. Then number three, faith is acting upon the word of God. So there is trusting, believing, and acting. trusting God, believing God, believing God's word, and acting upon the Bible. That's why James chapter 2 says faith without works is dead. Now, you're not dead, but your faith is. A lot of Christians got dead faith. They got a faith, frankly, that couldn't blow the fuzz off a peanut. I don't understand why Christians would have to say, I have faith, but they won't trust God.
Amen.
They don't, really don't, when it gets right down to it, don't really believe his word. And then when they won't act upon it, that proves your faith. That's the quality of your faith. So a lot of people have, they have misplaced faith. Oh, the worst bunch I've ever seen are people have faith in themselves. Well, I trust myself. I don't trust anybody. I just trust me. And I think, well, you little pipsqueak, you've got to be kidding me. You mean you've never failed you? You've never let you down? You've never disappointed you whatsoever? Misplaced faith. They have faith in themselves. They have faith in others. Well, I have faith in people to help me out. Then there's those sad souls who have faith in the government. They're really messed up. But some have misplaced faith. Some have misguided faith. In other words, they have a faith that has used to be faith. Well, I used to believe that. I used to believe this. That was something I used to believe a long time ago. But I don't believe that anymore. If you ever believe something that was right, it's still right.
Amen.
And if it's based on God and his word, then that should never change. So then we have people with the misguided faith. Then there's people with misinformed faith. They have faith in something. They have faith in religions, all that kind of stuff. I would hope today we would have that right kind of faith. Faith that says, I trust God. I believe his word, and because of that, I am going to act upon it. You know what you have in Hebrews chapter 11? You have what I call the actions of faith. Let's look at those. Father, bless now this morning, please, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated, please. Action number one of faith is verse 1. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Not used to be faith. Now faith. A faith that is alive, that is active, that is real. It's not past. It's not what used to be. It is a faith that is a now faith. It's a constant faith. All in, all at it. See, that's the only kind of faith that pleases God in verse number 6. That, look at the verse, please, Hebrews 11 in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't even come to God unless you come to him by faith. Hang that junk that people say, well, I'll see it if I believe it. No, you have to believe it to see it, the Bible says. We get it backwards. And in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. See, we want substance and evidence to believe when God says you have to believe to get the substance and the evidence. That's why it needs to be a now faith. That's an active faith. That's a present faith. That's a faith that's real. That's a faith that's alive. So we got it backwards in our minds. We think if God proves himself, then I'll believe him. No, you got to believe him, and then he'll prove himself. That principle of faith, it's a now faith. Do you have that? Do you have that active faith in your life? What that becomes is a constant faith. See, a lot of things shake my faith, but not in God. Say, Pastor, you've never doubted God. I didn't say that. I said, I've never left my faith in God. I've doubted some things that God has done, but I just didn't understand it at the time. We'll come back to that in a minute. I've doubted things, but I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there have been things that have shaken my faith. There have been times I put faith in people and that got shaken. Not always, but it's happened. And sadly to say, I put faith in myself. Say, well, I could do this and I could do that. This pandemic thing after we got shut down out there in California and in March of last year, when we got going again and got our church open, myself and a bunch of preachers in California said, too bad, we're not waiting on government permission anymore. We're opening up. We're going to go. If they throw us in jail, they throw us in jail. And that we had sent letters to the governor. I don't know why people did that. That's a waste of time. But all that kind of junk. And we thought, that's it, man. We're opening up. So we did. And we opened our churches. And we went back to having services and things. We were careful about what we did, try to be wise about that. But ultimately, we didn't need permission from the government. God already gave us permission. Now, when we opened up our church, Mr. Mike Johnson, Mr. Dr. Reverend Wigglelips up here gets in his pulpit and says, we're opening and we're never going to close again. We've closed twice since then. And neither of them by the government's direction whatsoever. We had a run with this thing that went through our church. And I mean to tell you, it only takes two deacons to count an offering in our church. It got so bad, we didn't have two deacons to count an offering. We had so many people sick. All the staff was sick. I didn't get sick through that particular run. But all the staff got sick. A bunch of people got sick. So I knew it in my heart. God wanted us to go to online for a little bit, do a few parking lot services, get this thing and let it run. But I said, we're never going to close this thing down again. God said, yes, you're going to close this thing down again. And he did it. I remember standing on the platform on that Sunday night when I had announced to our folks, we're going to go online for a few services, have a few parking lot services, back off just for a little bit, let this thing run through us and get past it. And I'm standing there. And we had a good crowd that night and a good spirit in the service. And I'm thinking, God, what are you doing to me? You can't. No, no. I even told the Lord, standing right there, I told God, just kill me because someone else is going to have to announce this. I'm not going to do it. I know what you want, Lord, but I'm not going to do it. So just drop me like third period French. It's over. I won't do that. I don't want to go up there and tell these poor people we're going to back off. And of course, part of my pride was I told them I wouldn't do that. But then I had to get that out of the way. I said, I'm not going to do it, Lord. I'm not going to do it. And boy, the Holy Spirit didn't even have to prompt me. I just stood there and my heart fluttered. And I said, okay, I was kidding. I didn't mean that. I'll do it. I'm married. I know I'll do it. I'm told. Come on, Lord. Here we go. And I told, oh, man, I had people upset with me. Preacher, what are you doing here? And then I said, yep, this is what God wants. This is what we did. And right after that, it ran through our church, and we had scores of people sick. Now, fortunately, we haven't had anybody die yet. This probably tomorrow we will because I have someone in the hospital ready to go. We had to close down again about a month and a half ago. Same thing. Not by the government's direction. The government's not going to close our church anymore. They're just not going to do it. See, well, then why? Because God gave us direction to do it. Now, here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. And every time God gave us direction on this thing, it proved out that God was always right. Now, there's something I've learned a long time ago. Two things. God is always right. Number two, my wife is always right whether it looks like it or not. That's just the way it works. I learned, my wife's grandpa taught me the two words that save every marriage. Those two words are? Yes, dear. That's those two words. And we'd be sitting at the table playing dominoes, and his dear wife, my wife's grandma, she's a spunky outfit, I'm telling you. He was a very laid-back kind of guy. And she said, help, I need you to do something for me right quick. Yes, dear. Harold, I want you to go out and do something. Yes, dear. And he just keep playing dominoes. And I said, aha! You say yes, dear, and then you don't do nothing. It works perfectly. That's the answer to the whole thing. Yes, dear will save your marriage. Doing what you want will keep you a man. But the truth of the matter is, I figured that out. My wife is almost always right. Even if she ain't right, she's still right. I found something else better than that God is always right. And if you have a now faith, a faith that's really active, alive in your life, then you know what happens? You have a constant faith. That's an anchor that holds your soul. That's something that keeps you going in your life. Now faith. Action number two, look at verse number three. Through faith. Do you see that statement right there? Look at it. Hebrews 11, verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith. Now that's a faith that says, my questions will be answered if I keep trusting God, believing his word, and acting upon what he tells me to do. See, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know how the world was created. We know what the Bible says. Now, if you're waiting on science to tell you whether or not whether that's true or not, you're going to be going to the zoo and throwing peanuts at your relatives. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been in a few malls before and saw people walk by and go, now, that one might be the missing link right there. That could be. I mean, I don't believe in evolution. None whatsoever, but I've seen people before, and I thought, no, that dude right there, he could be. I'm from California. You know, we got some folks out there. We had this preacher come out there visit years ago, young preacher from West Virginia. That's where y'all from, right? Yeah. He come out there, and he said, Brother Johnson, I'm going to go over and see them big trees you got over there on the coast, the redwoods, you know, the oldest living thing besides Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. And he comes up there and he said, I'm going to go over and see them trees. Got my family to go camping over there. Got me some wieners and beans and stuff. I said, okay, beautiful. They're right over the mountains here. You'll see them. That's fantastic. It was a Sunday. He drove over there. He came back Monday night. And I said, did you even get to see them? That's quick. He goes, Brother Johnson, there's some weird people over there. There's some folks, pretty scary looking people over there. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I've been to West Virginia. I saw some pretty scary people over there too, brother. I there in them hollers, you know what I mean? Yeah, I said, it scared the fire out of him. He thought, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I said, wait, what are you going to do for the rest of your vacation? So I'm going to stay right here where I know you and I know what's going on. He was scared to death of what happened to him. You know, the truth is, I've seen people who I thought were the missing link. I went to public school as a kid, raised up in public school. I was taught evolution and all that junk. I lived with my grandparents, my grandmother. She made me an independent fundamental Baptist. When she'd sit there with her King James Bible in her lap, she'd point at that book and she'd say, "Now, Michael Ray, if somebody can't prove to me what they say from that book, I don't believe it. You don't do it either." I didn't know that. She was a Southern Baptist. She wasn't even an independent Baptist. I didn't know that would make me an independent Baptist one day. And I came home one day from school. I think it was third, fourth grade. I said, "Grandpa, you know what they told us? They said in school that everything just happened. That evolved. And that we come from the monkeys." And she said, "Michael Ray, you learn that, get a good grade, but don't you believe it for 5 seconds. Because that's not how it was." Did you know, without the help of science, through faith, I came to understand how the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, you say, "Oh, you mean because you trust it by faith and that's how you come to believe it." No, I trust it by faith and that's how I know it's the case. See, I don't know there's heaven. I don't know. I've never been there. Been close. Been real close. I was on an airplane. I was in the Air Force. I was on the airplane flying along, and they told us the plane was going to crash. I was stationed up in Greenland, up in the Arctic, because I violated the number one rule in the military. What's the number one rule in the military? Don't volunteer for nothing. I volunteered. I got up there, and I got on this plane just to get off the base and go flying, and we go up there. I was an air traffic controller. And we go up there on the above the base by on the ice cap, and these C-130 aircraft are four-engine jobs. They put skis on them to land on the snow and the ice, but the skis retract when they go to land on a runway. And the propellers pitch forward and back to speed up and slow down the plane. It's a pretty interesting old aircraft. My buddy and I are sitting there inside this airplane, jump seats. You know, inside a military aircraft, there's nobody giving you a little drink and some peanuts. And it's just an old nylon jump seat. And you're sitting there looking out the window at the ice cap just to do something. We fly up the base. The guy does a couple landings on the snow and the ice, go back to the base. And while we're going back, they have these earphones on because it's so noisy in there. And if you want, you can listen to the pilots, but that's what I did, so I didn't care. I happened to flip the switch to hear what he was saying to the pilot. And the pilot says, "Well, you better soap the runway in case we crash." This another frequency? And then I started listening real careful. And it turned out one of the skis would not show that it was retracted. So it could be one ski down and a wheel, which means the plane would land, slide, grab, flip the plane over, and it ain't good after that. So now I'm really listening. My buddy wasn't paying attention. He was just sitting there. After a couple minutes, the crew chief comes back there, and he goes, "Have you been listening?" And I went, "Mm-hmm." And he goes, "Okay, here's what's going to happen if we crash and you're not dead. Go out that door right there. Go left. Because if you go right, you're going to run into the propellers and get killed. Got it?" "Okay." Jimmy turns around and he goes, "And if we're upside down, it's the other way." So he walks off. My buddy's just sitting there, not paying attention to anything. And he puts me and goes, "Hey, what's going on?" I went, "We couldn't land right away because the plane was full of fuel. They couldn't dump it. So we had to fly around for 2 hours, burning off gas, waiting to die by a flaming torch of fuel blowing up through that fuselage like a smokestack in a foundry." And I'm thinking, I could be dead in 2 hours. And here's the really bad part. I wasn't right with God. Well, I started checking my soul. Wait a minute. Let me make sure now. 9-year-old boy, American Baptist Church, Indiana, California. Trusted Jesus. I'm saved. I ain't right. Oh. Dear Lord. Started doing business with God. Called foxhole religion. That's called fuselage religion. I was down inside that airplane. Yeah, I was real close to heaven right at that moment right there. But I've never been there. Good meal yesterday. That was close to heaven. To me, a meal, a really good meal, that's close to heaven. It is. Cracker Barrel, that's right next door. I mean, you know, you're talking about it now. You say, "Brother Johnson, but you know there's a heaven?" I sure do. Amen. Because through faith, my questions have been answered. But now get it right. It doesn't mean through faith you will get all your questions answered. It's through faith you have your questions answered. So I don't have to go any further than that. I don't have to go any further than the Bible. I don't have to go any further than trusting God. I don't have to go any further than believing His Word. I don't have to go any further than acting upon it. See, the principle, like first, the principle of tithing. Let me ruin the meat and talk about money. The principle of tithing isn't you give, God will bless you. The principle of tithe is you give because you know God will bless you. If you have faith, it works that way. So you don't have to wonder about that. Well, how am I going to make it? No. See, you already left the trust in God out. Yeah, but I'm barely making it out. Oh, you've already stopped believing His Word. And so we stop trusting and acting upon our word, on the Word of God, and then we don't realize what God can do. Through faith. That's a faith that is persistent. So as it goes along, we don't know about it. It's always interesting to me. Families, they raise their children while they're little and coming along. They teach them the Bible. They instruct them in the Word of God. They tell them what they can and can't do. And then when the kid turns into a teenager, all of a sudden something changed. That little bugger comes home at 13 and says, well, Daddy, I'm not so sure I believe what you believe. Little 13-year-old theologian. My kids pull that stunt on me. I always looked at them. I said, No. Don't say, I don't agree with you, Dad. I don't believe you, Dad. Say it right. I don't believe the Bible. God taught you the Bible. So you got to look at your father and you got to tell me, I don't believe the Bible. That's what you got to tell me. And if some that doesn't choke you, then there's something wrong with your soul. It's amazing how people think somehow a 12, 14-year-old kid who doesn't know enough Bible, that doesn't know the Bible if you rate it in terms of gasoline, couldn't drive an ant's go-kart around the inside of a Cheerio one time without stopping for gas twice. That somehow now that kid's intelligent and knows what he should be doing and what he shouldn't be doing. No. We're going to have this thing about persistence. We're just going to stay with what the Bible says. We're going to continue and be faithful at this thing. We're going to have an active faith that's now faith that's constant. Then we're going to have through faith that's persistent. And we're going to stay with this thing. See, it doesn't change. I have people tell me, well, Pastor, after all, this is 2021. I know what year it is. I do. Last time I said that at my church, I said, yeah, I know it's 2020. People laughed. I said, what's funny? They go, it's 2021, preacher. It's, all right, I know it's 2021, too. It's incredible. I know that. We got watches that tell us we're alive and our heart's beating, and we got to watch the migrating herds of the zebras coming up through the Mozambique. I got all that kind of stuff. I know that. Oh, we're so stinking intelligent. We got Google. We got the God of Google that can tell us everything we need to know. No, we have the Word of God, and what we need to have is a persistence that says through faith, the worlds, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith, there is a heaven. Through faith, there is a hell. Through faith, there is a God in heaven. Through faith, prayer works. Through faith, I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. If I will be persistent in my faith and in my God and in His Word and acting upon it, I will through faith have my questions answered. Do you trust God enough on that? Action number three is by faith, verse number four. That phrase is used 15 times in the book of Hebrews. By faith, always by those who accomplished and achieved great things in their life for God. If I do what I do by faith, I too can see God bless His Word. I will see God use me to do what seems to be impossible. You know, the impossible is still not out of the reach of God. It's not. And the truth is, that by faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham and Sarah had kids in the late stage of their life. I don't know if that's good or not. You know, when God restored Job, He gave him 10 more kids. And I think, well, maybe He didn't lift the curse. I mean, I don't know. By faith, there's a heritage of Isaac and Jacob. By faith, we see Joseph come out of the brick. By faith, and on. The Red Sea was parted. By faith, Jericho's walls fell down. And by faith means I have a consistent faith in my life. There's something about the consistency of a child of God who, I don't know how my grandparents ever got through the Depression, World War II, Vietnam, the 60s, and me. They raised me. I don't know how they did that. You know why they did it? They did it by faith. They just trusted the Word of God. Many years later, I moved my grandparents up to live by us there in Reading. My father was living in that city at the time. And I moved him up there. My grandfather was a man, very quiet, very godly man. And toward the end of his life, I'd go over and sit with him and at his place where he was staying. And I remember one Sunday morning, they called me and they said, he's just talking. And could you come over and help calm him down? And Sunday morning early, I went over there and sat with him and I'm holding his hand. This man taught me how to hunt and fish and work and do the things I needed to do as a young man in my life. And he was kind of talking out of his head a little bit. But as he did that, then he stopped and he started praying. He said, now, dear God, I need your help today, and I bless my dear wife. He said, oh, and dear God, today, bless my grandson, my preacher grandson. I know he's going to preach the Bible today. Even when his mind wasn't right, his faith was still a faith that was consistent. There's something about that, ladies and gentlemen. I know sometimes we'll have kids that get sideways and do things they're not supposed to do. Sometimes that happens. Let me ask you a question. Do you still have enough belief in your God, enough trust in Him, enough trust, belief in His Word to continue to act upon what the Bible tells you to do? And by faith, will they ever come back? I don't know. Will it always turn out the way I want? I can't answer that question. But the answer is, don't let anything change your faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Just have a consistent faith that says, I don't care what happens, I'm not changing my focus on my God. I'm not going to get looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen. To help us in our lives to what we need to do. Yes, then we got verse 13. There's one time this phrase is used. It's called in faith. But look at it. Look at verse 13, Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In faith, what Abraham and Isaac trusted God to do, what he promised them, as our brother said today, they never saw fully. Abraham trusted there'd be a heaven. He trusted the land God had given him. He never completely saw that. Isaac never did. Jacob never did. The children of Israel to this day have never seen the fullness of that land that God has promised them. But in faith, they're willing to trust and wait and believe and know that God will come through and God will keep his promises. One thing's for certain, our brother said about promises from God today, you can take this now. God never breaks a promise. And God always keeps his promises. Always. These crazy outfits run around out here, they're all afraid about nuclear weapons. And they say, we can blow up this planet 10 times over. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. God has promised a piece of dirt over there to Abraham and his descendants, and those people are going to get that. They're not going to get it glowing in a nuclear sunrise. He's going to give them that piece of land. God's promised that piece of land, so they're never going to blow this earth up. So those people can go over there and get a haircut, a bath, a job, and keep on doing what they're supposed to do. Because man is not going to control how things turn out. You see, when God tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that in faith, promises of God are kept, in faith, you can wait on God if you're waiting on God in faith. Now, you can't wait on God in doubt. You can't wait on God in fear. You got to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, if I may use a thought here, I looked that wait up one time. I'm not big on Hebrew and Greek and all that kind of stuff. But the truth is, there was something in that word wait that stuck out as I read some things. The word wait there in Isaiah 40:31 means to take the tines of material and make a rope. You know how you take how rope is made. It's not one solid piece. It's a bunch of tines that are wound together to make a rope. They that wait upon the Lord, that take the tines of their faith and their trust and their dependence upon the Lord, they take that and they bind it all together. And it gives them something to hold on to so they can wait on the Lord. It's not inactive. You're active. You're doing. Because what do you need? Why do you need to wait on the Lord to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint? Ain't no standing involved in that. But listen, you can't wait on a God you can't trust. You can't wait on a God that hasn't proved himself to you. You can't wait on a God that hasn't shown himself faithful on your behalf. You can't wait on a God that doesn't answer prayer. You can't wait on a God that you can't depend upon. You have to take all the rope of things you've bound over the years and found and learned about your God. And with that, you hold on to that. And while you do it, he will give you wings to mount up as eagles. He'll run and not be weary. He'll walk and not faint. You see, Christian, listen to me. The truth of the matter is this in faith principle is called resistant faith. I got to resist the idea that I look and see and think there is no way this could turn out right. You mean like the walls of Jericho? Massive walled cities, two walls, so thick they ran chariot races around the top of them. And here's the children of Israel, a bunch of vagabond slaves, and God says, here's how you're going to conquer the city. Once a day, walk around it. Don't say anything. Go home. That's it. Once a day, 6 days. That's what you do. Seventh day, seven times. Then you turn around, hey! And you give a shout, and the walls will fall. Now, if that's not the dumbest thing you ever heard on how to conquer a mighty walled city, I don't know what is. That makes absolutely no sense to anybody, no sense to a military man, no sense to anybody about how to conquer a mighty walled city like that. He didn't tell them to build ladders to crawl over the top of it. He didn't tell them to dig holes to crawl underneath it. Nothing. He just said, you do what I say. And when they did what he said, in faith, the walls fell down. That's like Gideon and his army that the preacher was talking about. The Gideon and his army, how they were to take those 300 men and take a torch and a trumpet and a pitcher to conquer a mighty army. Right? Light the torch, put it in the pitcher, blow the trumpet, boom, break the pitcher. God took care of the rest of it. You know what that was all about? That was an announcement of their faith in faith. Plus, also the torch was in case there's any blind Amalekites out there. They could go find them too if they needed to. I mean, the truth of the matter is, the trumpet was to help the blind Amalekites find them. The truth of the matter, it don't make any sense. It's just crazy, ladies and gentlemen, that we actually believe in faith that we're going to take the word of God and I'm going to live by it in 2021. In a day and an age where everything's supposed to be proven, where we're supposed to follow the science of people who don't know what they're talking about. And how do we do this? How do we function? How do we take care of things? How do we raise godly, decent lives, families, marriages, children, and a church in the middle of a community, a city, a nation, a world that is determined to turn its back on God, shake their fist in his face, while we talk about the fact that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that a man is a man when he's born and he stays a man. He doesn't change from anything but a man. And a woman is a woman when she was born. And God set that at conception. And that's the way it goes. And then this is right and that's right and this is wrong and that's wrong. And this is what we do and that's what we do. You say, oh, it's just not black and white anymore, Pastor Johnson. I don't know about you besides my red letter edition. Everything else in here is black and white. And that's all settled. And here's the deal now. Watch this. And then in faith, ladies and gentlemen, I got to resist all the things that tell me. All my mind wants to talk me out of things. You ever drive down the road late? No, don't do this. You ever drive down the road late at night and you're really tired? I mean, you're wore out, but you're so dumb you ain't got the sense to pull over and take a nap. You're on one long stretch of straight road. Your fatigue tells you if you lock your elbows and hold that steering wheel, put on the cruise, I can get a nap and not stop. They had a guy a while back got killed driving his motorhome across Arizona and decided to get up and go make himself a sandwich. He said, well, that's about stupid. You mean you never talked yourself into something like that? I was coming home from work one night when I was in Bible college. Man, I was so tired. I pulled up this red light and I got, what, 3-4 minutes? I go, give me a 3-4 minute nap. Put a parking brake on. Look up. Light's still red. Half hour went by. I just sat there at that light, sleep under the light. Then I come from work one night and they had an ice storm. Now, I'm from California. We don't really do ice storms out there where it rains ice. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Because you got that kind of crazy stuff out here. I had my car and I'm sitting there late one night and I'm thinking, what would happen if I just gunned this sucker? And I had a Chevy 350 Malibu. I mean, it was a nice ride. I thought, I could get it back under. I gunned it, and I'm doing donuts down the street. You know, turning in the direction of that does nothing on ice. And now I'm sliding toward the cars that are parked, and I'm thinking, I'm about to smash my car up because I thought, what would it be like if I gunned it? You couldn't have put a nickel between my doorknob and the car next to me when that thing finally stopped. Now try and pull away from there without sliding into the car. I got out of it. My palms were sweaty. My heart was racing, and I told God, I'll never do that again. You ever talk yourself into something? 11 o'clock at night, you're sitting there thinking, man, I'm hungry. There's a piece of lemon meringue pie in the refrigerator. Got one of them cheap old yes in the store. I mean, somebody made it. Got two ladies in my church make lemon meringue pie. You take a bite, you pucker up so bad your face caves in. I mean, ooh, big old layer of calf slobber on top of there, huh? Meringue, that's what it looks like when a calf is milking. It turns around, he's got this foam all over his face. But it's meringue. Okay, meringue. Okay. And sitting in that refrigerator at 11 o'clock at night, and you're thinking, Jesus is coming. The imminent return of Christ. The imminent return of Christ. I want the calf that's eating my pie. What if I drop dead tonight? My wife's going to eat that pie. She'll probably remarry. Some other guy will eat that pie. I promised my wife, I said, babe, God help us. If you pass, I promise I'll wait till after the funeral. But the truth is, by that time it's 11:15, and God's already talked me into eating that pie. It's time to go. I won't give you all the other examples of things I've talked myself into, okay? But here's the deal. Okay, one more real quick. I used to be a chocoholic. I mean, I was almost ready to start going to meetings. I mean, it was that bad when I was a little kid. I love chocolate. I did. Walked by my mom's room one morning. I look over there. She's got a box of chocolate up on her dresser. I thought, she's hiding the good stuff. It's thin, about that wide, like a Hershey's bar kind of thing. Green box, though. I thought, must be like Norwegian or something. About 8, 9 years old. Pull that box over, look at it. Big black letters on it. EX-LAX. I didn't know what that was. I opened it up, pulled the foil out, foil wrapped. Looked just like Hershey's. Unwrapped it, looking at the little sections off, kind of like in a Hershey bar. But man, my mom was hiding Norwegian chocolate in her room. So I ate one. Then I ate two. Then I ate the whole thing. EX. LAX. The three symbols for Los Angeles International Airport or LAX. If I go through that airport, I still have to go to the bathroom. I was 8 or 9 years old. About an hour later, it hit me like the Holy Ghost run me over, brother. I headed for the bathroom. I think I was 12 before I got out of there. I mean, I'm telling you what. I sound like the Wicked Witch of the West when she got water thrown on her. I'm melting. Can't do much with chocolate anymore. Especially dark chocolate. I have problems when I eat dark chocolate. Talk yourself into stuff. Yeah, my mind tells me, but I know what the Bible says, but, and as soon as you say that, you're in trouble. Yeah, right. Hey, no. No, no. In faith is a resistant faith. It just says, I don't care what the world says. I'm not checking the winds of political correctness. I'm not trying to get elected mayor. Nobody's nothing. I don't care if the world loves me, likes me, hates me, or despises me. I don't care. I don't care if I get people upset with me. I don't care if some of the family doesn't like it. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if it's well loved. I don't care if it's accepted. I'm not trying to win anybody's favor but God's. But I'll tell you something. In faith is a resistant faith. That's how these people, they went through all this time trusting the land and even looking for heaven. They never saw it till they died. Right. Oh, but God came through.
Yes, he did.
So can we have some action to our faith tonight or this morning? In this life and in the next, do you have the right actions to your faith? Do you have a now faith that's constant? Do you have a through faith that's persistent? Do you have a by faith that's consistent? And do you have an in faith that's resistant? I'll tell you what that is, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. That's faith that's alive. All the rest of that stuff out there is dead. Well, I believe God, but see, I can't. Nope. Sorry. Not when Noah builds an ark. Sorry. Not when Sarah has her first kid at 90. Sorry. I'm sorry. Those list of people that's there, every one of them, if you cut them, they'd bleed. kick them, they'd get hurt. But they did something by faith, ladies and gentlemen, that's recorded not to intimidate us, to show us, listen, when you believe God, you trust your God, you believe His word, and you act upon it, there's substance, there's evidence, and God accomplishes a great deal through us. Let's stand our feet, please.